You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy.
My name's actually Felix.
The weird, the whack, the wonderful.
Stranger Than Fact on 95BFM.
People have been fascinated by the Titanic disaster since it made headlines in April of 1912. It's one of history's most famous tragedies, inspiring books, movies, and some choice conspiracy theories. That's what we're here to talk about today. Let's find out why one of history's most shocking moments became primetime conspiracy fodder. My favourite, and probably the most well-known, Titanic theory is the exchange hypothesis. This theory was posited by Robin Gardner, an author and Titanic enthusiast, in his book Titanic, The Ship That Never Sank, styled with a question mark that makes reading the title out loud almost impossible without sounding ridiculous. Titanic, The Ship That Never Sank, claimed that the tragedy was nothing more than an extremely deadly 50,000-ton case of insurance fraud, which is, funnily enough, my favourite type of fraud. Key to this claim was the significantly less famous, although significantly less sunken, sister ship to the Titanic, known as the RMS Olympic. Now, to explain where this theory is coming from, we're going to have to get into the history of these ships, so strap in for a little bit of nautical history. The RMS Olympic was commissioned 1 year before the Titanic, and thus embarked on its maiden voyage about 10 months before the Titanic disaster. In fact, the Olympic lived on to enjoy a pretty solid career, despite looking nearly identical to one of the most famously dangerous boats in history. It continued to sail until its retirement in 1935, 24 years after it was first launched. To put that into perspective, the RMS Olympic and the RMS Titanic were members of a delightful family of three, alongside the HMHS Britannic, which would be completed in 1915. Less than a year after the Britannic's launch, though, it also sank. Although this time it made a little bit more sense, considering it was a Navy-run ship in the middle of the First World War. But with all that said, it should point out just how lucky the Olympic was, being the only ship of its class to survive longer than a year. This is where Robin Gardner comes in. He believed that the Olympic's lucky streak wasn't based on luck at all, and that prior to its maiden voyage, the nearly identical Titanic was swapped for an older and recently damaged Olympic. You see, during its fifth voyage, the Olympic had experienced an unfortunate collision with a British warship. This was a ship whose bow was specifically designed to ram enemy ships, and so the collision caused significant damage. It tore two massive holes in the ship's hull and twisted its propeller shaft, demanding some outrageously expensive repairs. In fact, historical records show that the Olympic's accident caused significant delays to the Titanic's construction, as they used key parts, like the propeller shaft, to repair the Olympic. Gardner speculates, however, that these delays served another purpose. That, threatened by the combination of repair costs and legal fees, the company that owned the ships, White Star Line, decided to engage in some underhanded business. According to Gardner's theory, White Star decided to patch up the Olympic and convert it so it was identical in appearance to the Titanic, and then subtly repurpose and relaunch the Titanic as a newly repaired Olympic. The impetus for this scheme was supposedly the refusal of White Star's insurance company, Lloyd's of London, to pay for the Olympic's damage, since the courts ruled that the Olympic was entirely at fault for the original collision. Robin Gardner theorizes that the Olympic received such significant damage from this collision that it would simply be too expensive to repair completely. Thus, the old switcheroo was employed to ensure that White Star would receive a handsome insurance payout once the quote-unquote Titanic, in heavy quotation marks, sank. After all, the best way to get an insurance payout for the Olympic would be to pretend it was an entirely new ship that encountered an unfortunate and unexplainable accident. Perhaps an iceberg. Meanwhile, the true Titanic would be refloated as the Olympic and continue earning a steady income over its lifetime. So let's actually go over Gardner's evidence. Why does he believe the Titanic was never the Titanic at all? His main argument is that the Titanic's sea trials were suspiciously short. The Olympic was trialled over 2 days, including a number of high-speed runs to stress-test the design. However, the Titanic was only trialled over 1 day, of which Gardner alleges that it never went over half speed. His argument is that, since the Olympic had sustained major hull damage, White Star understood that it wouldn't be able to hold up at high speeds, and thus eased the trial conditions to compensate. However, this could just as easily be explained with the argument that, since the Titanic followed the exact design of the Olympic, White Star ruled it just wouldn't need the same level of testing. This is a trend for most of Gardner's theory. For each point he raises, there are several much more plausible reasons why it's probably wrong. The exchange theory has a lot of detractors. There are entire books written to debunk Gardner's theory. Researchers have laughed in his face, and British historian Gareth Russell even stated that the theory was, quote, so painfully ridiculous that one can only lament the thousands of trees which lost their lives to provide the paper on which it has been articulated, which has got to be one of the best ways I've ever heard someone say, your book's shit, mate. So what is it about the Titanic that inspires so much fascination? Well, in a lot of ways, it's the perfect story. It's mysterious, tragic, and, if the film is anything to go by, romantic. The Titanic was a feat of engineering and a colossal disaster. It combines everything you could want in a story. Triumph and hubris, fear and discovery, ships and icebergs. Was that too soon? The point is that events like this will always inspire some whack theories, because it's the sort of stuff that demands theorizing. A lot of us don't know what happened on the Titanic. You know why? Because most of the people died, so in a lot of cases, theories are the best we can do. Was the Titanic disaster actually the most ridiculous case of insurance fraud in history? Probably not, but I want to believe in a world where it was.
I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
That was Stranger Than Fact on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.